There's only a few things I really care about in life. My body, my pad, my ride, my family, my church, my boys, my girls, and my porn.
All right, so this is another night's episode, just Abe and I. Say hello, Abe.
Hi, Abe.
This is episode 6 of Out Now Nights. And we're going to talk about Don John, because we both saw the movie, and we figured, why not share our thoughts on it?
Yeah, this is a jam-packed opening weekend here for the 27th of September.
Ava, why don't you start? Why don't you say what you thought about Don John?
I thought it was, my first impression is that it's kind of a long film. It feels that way, I think. And also, the story doesn't really pick up till maybe like the third act, where you have hints of it, but it kind of picks up with the third act where you sort of start to see, I guess, what this film is about, and about character redemption and character turn. But certainly, I do appreciate that Joseph Gordon-Levitt took the time and effort to write it and direct it. I mean, that's a phenomenal feat in itself. And it is very bold and edgy and whatever else, but for the most part, it kind of takes a while to get there. And when it does, it kind of just ends kind of quickly. So, kind of just initial thoughts.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I would say it's a solid directorial debut for Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And Wright, I mean, writing-wise as well. It certainly, it really tries to capture the vibe of this being a New Jersey guy with his friend, with his Guido friends. And, you know, you establish, well, that's kind of what I liked about it. You establish, early on, you establish that there's kind of a routine that he goes through where he enjoys, right, as the trailer says, his family, his friends, his pad, his ride, his body, his girls, and his porn. And I like that. I like that in terms of his direction, I like the way that he uses a lot of kind of the same camera setups over and over again, that you, so you get the idea that he's doing this thing. And then, right, as he meets Scarlett Johansson's character, Barbara Sugarman, as well as Julianne Moore's character, who I'll get to in a second, the patterns change and the movie evolves, and it becomes, what I notice is, it becomes more handheld throughout. Like the shots stop becoming so static, they start kind of sitting in place, and they start moving on to different things. And you're seeing the John character played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he evolves, and mm-hmm. It's a neat sort of approach. And it has a danger of being too much repetition involved in there, and the characters border on being caricatures, which is not the greatest thing, and especially, right, when it comes to the women characters, because the women characters are basically either very controlling, always screaming, or like
silent,
or just sex objects. And so it's, I mean, far be it from a man to, you know, write exactly what a woman's perspective is like, but in terms of what the story's trying to tell me, that's not really the point of it. The point of it is trying to focus on Don John. Well, yeah, the characters aren't as,
right,
well-rounded as they could be. I do think that showing this kind of journey of this guy, who's not like the brightest guy, but he's also not a dumb guy by any means, I think it's a neat kind of character story about this person.
I certainly echo your sentiment about, like, you know, he's not the smartest guy in the room, but he's not the dumbest either. And you can tell that primarily because, you know, there's some really funny stuff when he says, like, when someone brings up a topic like internet history, and then he just has like the most puzzled look on his face, like, what? And
yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, he is a smart dude. He's he doesn't want to manipulate his friends, and he wants to be true to them. And I do like the parts of repetition. And then I kept on wondering, man, those guys playing basketball, they're kind of cool. And then the movie just shows him going to play basketball one day. And I was like, this is awesome. It's like my wish coming true. It's like, I just want him to go into the gym to play basketball instead of to go work out. What are your thoughts on the theology aspects of it?
In terms of what his thoughts on.
So he goes to, no. He goes to, like, confession and what have you. And then he questions it at the end. He's just like, well, I thought that it'd be like a lighter sentence. And is there like a number to what you're saying? Or are you just telling me this? You know,
you're asking,
I mean,
me, the Jew, about this. I don't know how confession works.
I don't know either. I'm just wondering if you thought about that part.
Not really. In terms of like the character, it's like, it may give him something to think about in terms of how he regards religion. I mean, because he goes to church all the time every Sunday, and he always goes to confession to admit that he watched a lot of porn and that he had sex out of wedlock. And as the film goes on, he does it less frequently, or he does less porn, or he does less sex, or what have you, and he gets different.
I guess
whatever the Hail Marys
Hail Marys
take, like, it's a different number. And he starts questioning why it's a certain way as the time goes on. And yeah, I don't know what to think of that, but it might give him more to think about of like how he's regarding this kind of system. What more of what I was interested in is how his regard to port is, and it's like it's hard to.
That was an interesting.
It's hard to like I can't say like everyone's the same, but it brings up points that I'm sure other males probably kind of like regard in terms of kind of a fantasy sort of life versus like the reality.
Right.
And it's interesting that the movie is so frank about everything. That's something I enjoyed about it too. Like
Well, I think that's why the Julianne Moore character really comes in.
It is, yeah. And I'll get there because that's her character is my favorite thing about this movie. But him and the way he narrates things that go on in his life and how he regards sex versus how he regards his love for Port, it's interesting, and it brings up some kind of an interesting sort of rivalry, you would say, between Port versus the real thing. And it does have an approach where it doesn't try to, you know, sugarcoat anything. It's just this guy explaining exactly what his thoughts are via narration or to other friends or what have you. And that was kind of a refreshing take. A lot of things about this movie that I enjoy are the fact that it goes away from a lot of standard tropes of this sort of movie. For example, it ends in no way that I thought it was going to be. But with that said, I didn't know where it was going when it. So there you go. With that said, let's get to Julianne Moore's character. Julianne Moore. So basically, John is forced to, once he meets up with Scarlett Johansson, who he starts dating, she pushes him to go back to school. So he takes night classes, and there he meets Julianne Moore's character, Esther. And they have a really interesting relationship that forms over the course of the film in terms of their friendship and like how they meet versus where they end up. I liked it because I think Julianne Moore is fantastic in this movie. I think that she is the most human character in this film. I think she has reveals about herself that are very interesting to me and very much make up why she is the way she is, but also add a little bit more drama to the proceedings. Everything about her I was really enjoying, and I really liked her chemistry with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I mean, I certainly liked her character too, but I liked her character primarily because she started to ground John.
Yeah.
And it kind of started to make everything make sense, which is like what you were talking about earlier. You know, porn is a fantasy. It's like what she says, it's not real. And maybe the reason why you aren't feeling complete is because you just don't share those experiences with somebody else. And you can't really do that until you really give yourself to another person, not give yourself, but, you know, you really let someone else know about your intricacies and your quirks and whatever else. And then things just become more special because you know that this person is also aware of how you feel about a certain situation. So everything just becomes more, quote unquote, intimate. And that's that was an interesting point just because, you know, he's wondering, well, why can't he, like, you know, get off and think about or do, like, masturbate without porn and everything like that? And why do his relationships always seem like they're, like, very, what's the word, shallow? And there's even this part in this porn film that he's watching. It's just like, don't you want like a lengthier, maybe you should go for a real relationship or something like that. It's just, I guess there are hints of it along the way. And then when he finally meets her and there is like a longer discussion about things, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, I like the way that he wrote it, but you know, like it's good job on her part too. I mean, she's, this is actually going to go into, Aaron, have you seen this? There's like a supercut of all the films that Julianne Moore has cried in.
I haven't seen that, but I mean, she's cried in a lot of films.
Right, yeah. So
She makes a good cry face.
So she's, did she cry in The Kids Are All Right?
I just watched it too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. She doesn't like Magnolia Cry. You know, she doesn't like Boogie. She doesn't like Boogie Nights outside the lawyer's office.
Magnolia Cry. I've sucked her with the guy's cocks. I especially like her character too. It's just I didn't really so much think that they centered too much on, I guess, how women see it. And I guess it's primarily because
it's not about that.
John, yeah. But I mean, just a way that, you know, hey, look, you guys have your fantasy of, like, how relationships should be and how, like, some guy's going to sweep you off your feet, played by Channing Tatum and or John Krasinski. He was in the poster with his wife in a Die Hard fake remake. But, yeah, it's an interesting take on the perspectives of things. And something that I talked about with my friends after watching it is like, you brought up Enough Said in our main review, and I've heard Enough Said is a pretty good take on adult relationships as well, just in terms of, you know, what to expect, and maybe things don't go well because you are getting like stupid vibes from some of your friends, and society has told you that it should be this way or that way. And it's an interesting concept, but I do want to see it just to see how it compares. I also thought of Shame in this movie. This is like a comedic take on Shame.
It is, very much so.
And I mean, Shame is...
If you watch Shame and then watch this movie after, you'd be like, oh, I feel better now.
Yeah, you feel better about, yeah, I guess, you know, all that stuff. But for the most part, yeah, I was like, yeah, this is a comedic take. But it actually kind of goes somewhere where Shame is like, you're left pondering, you know, what happens.
Well, Shame has a lot more to say about what addiction is.
Yes, and it's so devastating, actually. It's still one of my haunting films.
It's a great movie, though. I'm just never going to watch it again, probably.
Yeah, it's great score as well. It's just, yeah, it's riveting. Michael Fassbender, good job.
We haven't talked about the supporting cast at all, obviously. I mean,
right.
I think, as much as I like Julianne Moore, I think Tony Danza is the best thing in this movie. He's so funny. I'd watch an entire movie of him and Glenn Headley as his wife. Just I'd watch a whole series about them. It's just so much fun.
I think that he's really good too. He's basically every scene that he's in, it's a solid scene, like super solid. And you do want to see more of him, but I think that's just the right amount of Tony Danza in this film. And I like how, you know, when they go to they have dinner on whatever day, they're just wearing like wife beater tank tops and eating pasta and then like not having relations with each other. Like he and his son John, just John and John Jr. don't talk to each other at all. Like it's super awkward, but at the same time, like I guess this, you know, I'm sure that there's some households like that. So but yeah, he's a scene stealer for sure.
I like the Brie Larson having doing nothing at all. She
had the best job.
She plays John's sister, and she just every time you see her, she's on her cell phone and just like kind of giving just, looks, like,
texting,
there's an inevitability to her character, but at the same time, it's still like just enjoyable seeing her just kind of around.
It reminded me of Maggie Simpson. Every time that the Simpsons show like a feature episode, Maggie never talks, but then she'll maybe say like one.
No, she's silent. She's Silent Bob. That's what she is. She'll have some insight at one point in the film, but for the most part, it's all Marceau just looks.
Yeah. But yeah, I like their family cast as well. The mother was very funny too.
Glenn Headley, I like her a lot. She's a very solid character actress that I've always just enjoyed.
I haven't seen her in many things actually, but I just like, hey, she, you know, she's doing a good job.
I don't know. I think if you looked up her IMDb credits, you'd be like, oh, like she's been in everything.
Oh, okay. So she's almost like William Fichtner, huh?
She has the early 90s, mid 80s, kind of in that realm. But she's always working.
The only thing I didn't like are some of the side characters were his boys.
I didn't like his, I mean, the one that's like Turtle, essentially. I didn't like him.
What's that one show? Entourage. HBO. Yeah, I don't watch that show. But, I mean, I guess it's a short guy.
Yeah. But okay. I like seeing Finding Forrester in this movie. I think he was more of a human than just like you know, a one liner machine.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they try to like give him some stuff to do, you know, especially when he comes over and he asks like, yo, what's going on with you? Like you're really blowing off your friends here, and we're trying to help you, kind of thing. But
on Treme, by the way.
He's also in Treme?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I haven't actually seen Treme. I'm kind of behind on the I forget the creator of the show, David Simon. But yeah, that's like those are the only real characters that I was like, you guys don't really do anything for me. So
there's boys.
Yeah, no, they're just his boys, which is cool, and you know, whatever. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that's cool. You guys hang out and you guys are true friends, but at the same time, like, there's no real development that would make me say, oh, wow, you know what?
It's not about, like,
all the... I know.
I like Scarlett Johansson.
I guess just in terms of...
In terms of what she's required to do, I liked her in this movie. I think she nailed the accent.
How'd you get my Facebook?
Oh, get right to it.
Yeah.
I just looked up your name.
I didn't tell you my name.
Well, obviously you did, because I looked it up.
No, I definitely did not tell you my name.
Yeah, you did.
I think I would remember that.
Well, no offense, but you were pretty wasted the other night. I mean,
so was I. Can I get you
guys some drinks? Yeah, a Diet Coke, please.
Yeah, Coke.
Coke and a Diet Coke. I'll be right back to take your order.
All right, I had a few drinks the other night, so I may not have remembered telling you my first name, but I definitely did not tell you my last name.
I'm telling you.
Now, don't lie to me.
Hey.
Look, you don't know me, so I'm going to let you off the hook this time. But trust me, in the future, you'll be much happier if you always tell me the truth.
Wait, wait, wait. I'll be happier?
Well, you don't think I could make you happy if I wanted to?
And the accent. Exactly.
She has certain quirks about her character as well that kind of put that, you know, you get an idea of who this person is. And it's neat to watch that. But, I mean, I think Johansson did a good job with it. And I haven't always been the biggest fan of Scarlett Johansson. Something about Avengers has really kicked her up for me. She seems to be having more fun with being an actress these days than I would say before, and I've just enjoyed her in movies recently more.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen any of her filmography too much. I can't even name anything beyond Avengers per se.
You can't name Lost in Translation?
But for the most part, I forgot that she was in that, actually. But I haven't seen that movie in a long time, so maybe that's why. I just remember Lick My Stocking, and that's all that I remember for that film, which is funny if you see it in context. Anyway, I think she's got like the nasally accent down, and you kind of get her character, but at the same time, like, it's deceptively funny too, because, you know, she's a controlling person, and then there's like this very hot scene in the apartment doorway, and then she's like, I also want you to go back to school. It's such a funny line during a very otherwise sexual scene, and the theater just laughed, because I like the way that Joseph Gordon-Levitt wrote it, because it's not just like, you know, one thing. It kind of just breaks some of the tension, so you're just not like, oh, I made a mistake watching this movie or whatever. You know, it's just funny. There's comedic moments in every aspect of it, and then it turns serious, and I like when it turns serious as well. It kind of reminds me of Joseph Gordon-Levitt's other movie, 500 Days of Summer, where it's a thing about relationships, and then it kind of goes more serious about, like, why it didn't work out, and or, you know, what if things had happened differently?
It's certainly
yourself up to people. You'd probably be more happy.
That's a much better movie, and it reflects what Joseph Gordon-Levitt's trying to do as a writer-director. Like, he's certainly taken a lot of influence from these other movies that he's been a part of that I think are good. I think Rian Johnson's an obvious influence as well with his work with him, even though, like, not directly plot-related, but in terms of just what he's trying to do from a stylistic standpoint. And he even has Nathan Johnson, who does the score for all of Rian Johnson's movies. He did the score for this film.
Oh, really?
And I had a weird sense about that too, and then I saw it in the credits, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So it's like, I feel like, yeah, overall I think it's a promising start for Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the filmmaker. It has some issues, obviously, but I did have a good time watching it, and especially involving Julianne Moore. I really wanted to praise her in this movie.
I really just think that her portion is just really small. I mean, I'm in terms of where it comes along in the story.
So. It does, but it also, I think it picks it up so much. Like, you get to a certain point in the movie where if their character didn't exist, it'd go down a very different route that just feels more conventional and just kind of like,
well,
I wouldn't have cared about this
then
movie.
Then there'd be no redeeming characteristic about the main lead.
There wouldn't. I like what the film did to introduce something that's going to change, to make an evolution in the main character.
So, yeah, and she's got funny lines, too.
Yeah, she does. She's certainly very funny in this movie. Being, like, the
were you just watching people fucking?
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
Yeah, so those are our thoughts on Don John. Yeah, so this is number 6 of Out Now Nights. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Tune in to these other Podomatic exclusives, and feel free to also, you know, send in your thoughts. outnowpodcast@gmail.com or facebook.com/outnowpodcast. You know, we'll let us know what you think.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?